You look good this morning. Amen. We're going to jump into a familiar scripture today. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm enjoying this. Enjoying going through a book of the Bible. Isn't that great? I know it's, I've had several folks say that this has been such a good time for them to grow and to learn, and so praise God for that. In chapter 4, we kind of read the beginning to go back to the end of chapter 3 last week, but if you look in through chapter 4, it's kind of like there's some themes that go on. It's flesh versus the spirit. It's the time past versus present and future. And, you know, it's just really eye-opening for what we need today. How many know we need the grace of God? Amen. And I want you to understand that in preaching this scripture, it is by the grace of God that we live. You know, this can be convicting. It can be challenging. But it's really by the grace of God that we live. I think our lights are strobing. Strobing. All right. Anyway, that's the result of doing a lot of planning for the play tonight and all the programming changes. And so we've probably got system overload back there, which I appreciate all of our media team as well who have been, yes, just as much as those on the stage, those guys back there have been working with getting lights prepared, getting sound prepared, and I just really appreciate all the labor from all of our media team as well. So I want to start reading, and then we'll go from there, all right? So it says, therefore, since Christ suffered, if you need to just cut those off, I'd be fine too. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime or time in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in the lewdness or lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation or debauchery, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to he who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Come on. So we recognize that we're in this great battle. I mean, the command that was given in this scripture, it's the only command that was given, is arm yourselves. Arm yourselves. And when you look at the scripture, this word arm is not talking about your abrazo or your physical arm. It's not anthropomorphic, you know, it's not talking about a body part. Arm, it's the only time this word is used. And it is the idea of equipping yourselves for battle, equipping yourselves with an understanding that what's about to take place. How many understand that we're in a battle between the flesh and the spirit, right? And this scripture is encouraging us to be prepared. Understand that Jesus Christ himself, if the King of glory and the King of kings has suffered, guess what? Arm yourselves. Be ready and be on guard with the understanding and mentality that you too may face the same types of consequences or the same types of battling that you have. I mean, when you think about it, Christianity is a battleground. Christianity is a battleground. It's not a playground. We are at war against the flesh, against the world, and against the evil. The flesh fights for you to be happy without God, right? The world fights for you to fit in without God. The devil fights so that you'll be too religious without God, right? And so we have to arm ourselves with that mentality, because too often we place what we want in our flesh and what we think should take place, even into our spiritual mentality, even into our religious world. We think, well, if God moves, he's got to move this way for me to be involved with it, right? We have the mentality of, if a revival is to take place, this is how it should look. And we place God in a box, and reality is if God wants to move, he will move how he wants to move, right? It may look different from other revivals. You can look throughout history, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. You can look throughout history of the early church, and even in the modern church, how revivals have taken place. They have happened in different levels, in different manners, and each type of revival has shocked the participants because it has come in different ways. But there's one way that's always necessary, and it's a people who are hungry for God. It's a people who are willing to surrender themselves to God, a people who are willing to seek the face of God and let God move how he wants to move. Amen? Amen. It starts off with arm yourselves also with the same mind. And I spoke briefly on this last week, but when we think about the same mind, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, the issue is that it is incapable for us to be able to present ourselves in such a way without verse 2, right? By the renewing of your mind. So there has to be a renewing of the mind. That's the part that we have to submit to God, so that God renews us so that we'll be able to do that. That's where grace comes in. This is not this is your 10 steps to finding God. This is not your religious activity. This is you seeking the face of God and letting God do his work in you. I mean, when I read the Word of God, it is not us who presents ourselves to God as holy. It is Jesus Christ who presents us as holy to the Father. It is his work in us that allows us to be able to walk this life every single day. When I think of John chapter 15, I shared this a few weeks ago. When I think of John chapter 15, it says that I am the true vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. In other words, for us to truly experience God and allow God to do his work, we've got to be submitted to him. We've got to be in the vine. Say in the vine. In the vine, right? And if you're in the vine, guess what? It's not going to be always a beautiful thing, because when you're in the vine, God is able to prune you and prepare you and lift you up in order that you can be fruitful. Even the fruitfulness that God wants you to acquire or to be is based on you being in him and him doing a work through you. Amen? Amen. So, even Philippians chapter 2 says, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who having the form of God did not think it robbery with God, right? Equality with God as robbery, right? So in other words, even though Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, and even though he had the ability to walk this life on this earth as the King of glory and King of kings, he was willing to humble himself. He was willing to face the trials that we face. He was willing to sacrifice the pleasures of this world to be able to show us a way that's better than any other way, because this world is not our eternal home. This world is not for us just to gain wealth and be happy and do all that we want to do and fulfill every fleshly desire that we want. It is for us to prepare ourselves for eternity in heaven. It is for us to walk through the refining fire that God can cleanse and purge and wash us to prepare us for what he has for us, right? Amen. For guess what? He's coming back again. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's the promise we have. God is preparing a place for every single one of us who will walk in his ways and walk in his truth, who will surrender our lives to him. And there's a place that God has for us, but will we make room for him? Did y'all have y'all's coffee this morning? For all you guys who were complaining about being cold, I feel hot. So I apologize for y'all who needs a fan now. At least when you're cold, you're jittering, right? And you're moving. Anyway, get it too hot in here. I might have some people. I might start walking around, right? The idea is that since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm ourselves with that same mentality, same mindset. And I believe that the basis for Peter's call to arms is that Christ Jesus suffered in the flesh for us. This is not a lesson in morality. It's not a lesson in ethics. His point is that the Lord Jesus Christ, it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beholding Christ is what transforms our life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's looking unto him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed from glory unto glory, right? We need to look unto him, keeping our eyes on the King and keeping our eyes on the Lord himself, right? So another point of this is that it goes on, says, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, we also have to realize that this portion is talking about those who keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus suffered, but he didn't cease from sin, because guess what? He never sinned. So it's warning us to understand that when we keep our eyes on Christ Jesus and we walk as he walked, though we have the chains of sin that have bound us, those who walk in Christ Jesus cease from the chains of sin. We're no longer bound and obligated to the sinful world. We're no longer bound and obligated to the task of the enemy, but we have the power of God to be able to be overcomers in Christ Jesus, right? Amen. And that's what he's speaking to us in that moment. Goes on in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. Say the rest of his time. The rest of his time. So when I look at this and I see there's right here, it says the rest of his time. It says, first of all, it says no longer, which is a reference to time. The rest of his time. The next verse says our past time. And then in verse 7 it says the end of all things, or the end of time. And then even the very last verse of the scripture, verse 17 says, for the time has come. So the idea is that one old person says, well, you got to let these kids just sow their wild oats. The reality is that too many of us are caught up still lost in our wild oats, right? Steve Rice this morning, I told Steve, I said, are you fried rice? He said, no, I'm wild rice. I said, no, he's talking about Sherry. But too many times we're caught up in our wild past. We're so bound by it. We're so leaning towards those things. And yet the Lord is saying, if we will submit ourselves to God, if we will keep our eyes on him, that though we might suffer, what does the suffering look like? It means that it's a part of sacrificing ourselves to the Lord. It's a part of saying, I'm no longer bound by this flesh. I'm going to set it aside. It means if I have to fast, that's a part of suffering. Oh, did I say that dirty word? It means that if for me to truly draw near to God, it means that by His grace that I've got to lay some things down. It means that that suffering might not be the physical suffering of a world that's against us. It could be the fact that we are willing to lay something down that has appeased us, that has drawn us, that has carried us, that we have put as a something of high value in our lives, that we lay that aside in order that we can have a clear focus even more on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That He no longer should live the rest of His time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Now, don't pinch your neighbor, but pinch yourself, right? How many of you guys are in the flesh this morning? Somebody said, is that a trick question, Pastor? Look, we're physically, fleshly, right here. It says that we no longer live the life in the flesh to or for the lusts of the flesh. It's unique because it puts the word lusts, L-U-S-T-S, or the passions, plural, to the will, singular, of God. I mean, God has a specific will for your life. And God wants you to carry out His will for your life. But there is a plethora of things, a multitude of things that wants to appeal to your flesh, that tries to distract you and hinder you from fulfilling the will of the Lord. But when we are willing to surrender ourselves to God and put aside the weight that so easily entangles us, we are able to see even clearer the vision of God and fulfill the will of God that He has placed before us if we're willing to surrender to Him. Amen. We need the will of the Lord, amen. As I was praying that song this morning, you know, I will make room for you. My prayer is this: God, I want revival so bad. But Lord, forgive me for putting you in a box to tell you how it should happen. Amen. I mean, look, we have been part of a movement of God. And now the movement has just become a voice talking about the past move of God. And I believe God wants us to have a fresh move of His presence. That it's not just that we talk about what God used to do or what God did, but that God does right now. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did the miraculous in the New Testament church, then guess what He wants to do now? Same thing. But we have to be willing to operate in Him. We have to be willing to be motivated in fulfilling His plan, willing to surrender ourselves to His plan. Verse 3 says, for we have spent enough of our past time. I mean, somebody's got to say enough's enough, right? Enough is enough. I'm tired of being drawn to the things that have appeased me. I'm tired of being drawn to things that have just seemed to waste my time. That seem to just, why am I here again? Why am I doing this again? Why am I listening to this again? Why am I watching this again? This has nothing to do with my building me up. It's just stuff, right? You know, the Spanish word for fun is divertido. When you go on a vacation, it's a diversión. And to clear that up, it's diversion. And so the idea is that I'm not purporting that we shouldn't enjoy life, but we need to be careful that our life is not full of diversions. We need to be careful that our life is not full of the dividing things that divide us from truth and from reality. I mean, we live in a world where, you know, kids are putting on masks for virtual reality. We're in a world where just in the last 2 years where we are now called the Z generation, the Zoom generation, because people have literally their relationships have been virtual instead of reality. And we need to be careful because we get into this virtual world and we lose sight of reality. We lose sight of that God is not just God's not a virtual God. He's a real God. And he's right here, right now. And he's looking for people who's willing to connect with him, who's looking for people who have a relationship, real relationship. Amen. Amen. Move on, Pastor. Move on. I said I was going to get finished with chapter 4 today, but Dr. Mosier had doubts. We'll blame it on him. So enough of spending time doing the will. When it says the will of the Gentiles, it's not talking about an ethnic group. It's talking about doing the will of the world, doing the will of those without God. And so too often we are still fulfilling the will without God, and it goes through a list. And this list is personal, it's corporate, but it's really just five different things. Every one of them are singular in the sense that they represent a way of life. And so what alerts me is the very last one. And the last one talks about an abominable idolatries or lawless idolatries. And I think that's the one that we have to be careful with even more than anything. Because when we get into the idea that enough's enough of setting up idols in our life, enough's enough of setting up other things in the place of God, we have to be willing to let God tear down the Baals and the Asherah poles and all those things. You say, well, wait a minute, we're not Old Testament, we don't have those things, but what other things have we set up as idols in our life? What other things that we have to have that we can't do without? And I said Wednesday night, because our scriptures are lining up so well with the book of Acts, that in counseling, a lot of times I'll put together a list of personal stressors. And what that looks like is it's a list of things people do every day. And I asked the couple, can you put down the time you spend in each one of these? And when you reflect on that, what areas needs to change? And ideally, here's the reality is that where does God line up on the time that we spend? Where's God on the list of what we do? Now, once again, whatever you do, you can do it to the glory of God. And if we're walking in a manner that we are practicing the presence of God, even at our workplace, we can honor God in our workplace. We can honor God at school. We can honor God at the grocery store. We can honor God at the gas station. We can honor God wherever we are. It doesn't mean that you have to be a monk hiding in some monastery out in the middle of nowhere to truly find God. It just means, are you willing to let God reign in your life wherever you are? Amen. God has to be number one no matter what, because Jesus became number one for every one of us. Amen. 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 In regard to these things, they think it strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation or debaucheries, and then they speak evil of you. How many find that, right? I remember when I first got saved, and my friends were like, oh, he'll be back with us in a couple weeks, right? And they made fun of the fact that, oh, yeah, here's that preacher boy. There's that religious kid. And they made fun. They laughed at me. They maligned me. The world doesn't understand why you don't line up with them. It's not that they expect you to do what they do, but they want you to agree with what they do. Yeah. They want you to at least accept them. You know, just tolerate me. And tolerate doesn't mean what it used to mean. It now means that we should accept fully with what they do as if we are to agree. But let me encourage you to sit and be silent is just as much as agreeing. We have to be a voice to our children. We have to be a voice to those who God has given us. We have to be disciples. Are we discipling? Who are we discipling? Who are we pouring into? Who are we teaching? Because the Bible says your old will teach your young, right? And who are you specifically at this moment pouring into that their lives are changed? Because don't expect a generation to change until you're willing to change one person. We've got to walk in it. We've got to teach it. We've got to live it. We've got to anticipate it. We've got to be able to allow God to move in us, because if not, then we are just as bad off as these folks. Amen. That will give an account. Here's the other side. The idea of don't judge me. But in the scripture, it says that they're judging you. In regard to these, they think it's strange, right, that you don't run with them. What's that called? That's judging. They're already looking at you. They're already judging you. But I would rather stand in the judgment of God, knowing that I've walked a life that is pleasing to Him. But the Bible says, don't fear man that can kill the body, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? So what the Bible says is that God will judge them. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Come on. Amen. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit. What's it saying? Well, we've already read in the context of last chapter where Jesus went down to Hades. He preached to those who were in prison, those who were disobedient. He declared victory over them. Well, this is a reference to that moment where now he's also, when he went, he spoke to those who were obedient to God, sharing the victory of God to them so that they would have the hope of God, just like we have the hope of God. Amen. But the end of all things is at hand. Say, the end of all things. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. There's an expectation. Look, the enemy is waging war against the body of Christ. The enemy is waging war. He's doing everything he can to hinder the advancement of the kingdom of God. This is not playtime. If there's ever a time that we should arm ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if there's ever a time that we should put on the whole armor of God, it is right now, because the ruler of this age is trying to destroy the body of Christ. You can see it all around us. You can see it in our government. You can see it in our local government. You can see it all around us in our school systems. The enemy is creeping in. It used to be ever so cunningly, but now it's so blatant, and it's time for us to truly arm ourselves with the truth of God's word and be prepared, because the end is at hand. Be serious and watchful. Amen. We've got to pray. Look, I'm so thankful for Tuesday mornings when there's around 8 to 10 people now showing up for prayer on Tuesday mornings. I'm thankful for our intercessory prayer team that's meeting on Wednesday nights before service, and how God is moving in that. And guess what? We need more. Amen. We need more. We might not make it those times, but I'm going to tell you something. Join the team. Pray. Seek the face of God. Ask God, What is it, Lord? How can I operate in this world? What do you want me to do? God, today, what is my divine appointment? Today, what is your plan and your will for my life? Lord, I wipe aside every agenda, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If I'm at work, God, then Lord, lead me to the person I need to speak with today. God, drop a word in my heart today that I need to share with somebody. Lord, let me be a vessel that is ready to serve you in every capacity. Amen. We've got to be watchful. We've got to be serious. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Peter's actually quoting Proverbs chapter 10, I think it's verse 12. When we love, it is what allows us to be able to speak into people's lives.
Yes.
Can I encourage you, be careful what you let speak into your life. Be careful what material you are reading. Be careful what you are listening to. Make sure you're guarding your heart, because whatever is feeding you will either uplift you or tear you down. So be careful what you are allowing yourself to speak into you. Make sure you are truly lining that up. Does that bring people to God? Does it bring glory to God? Does it honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it bring a person to a man? Does it bring a person to a ministry? Does it bring a person to an organization? Because if it doesn't bring people to God, then it's just a man-operated organization that may do a good thing or may not. If it's not bringing glory to God, then we need to question, is it of God? Amen? All right. I'm closing, and I'm going to be quick. It's really given a dichotomy here. It shows us what it looks like for those who operate in the flesh. And this is showing us what it looks like to operate in the spirit. And literally, we're in a civil war in ourselves these days. The body is in a civil war against flesh and spirit. And it's like the old saying says, the one you feed the most will win. And the world will give us every reason why we should not participate in the kingdom of God. The world will give us every reason why, every obstacle. And parents, help. Let me help you understand something. Whatever you prioritize over God will be what your children prioritize. And if you want them to have a love of God, make sure that you're pouring into them the love of God, that you're saying, this is the priority of life. Amen. This is more important than anything else. Your dynamics, your how you operate, the body, being a part of the body of Christ, being a part of the kingdom of God, being allowing the word of God to be the priority of your home and your life. It's important. As each one has received a gift, say each one. And then tell your neighbor, that's me. Each one of you have received a gift of God. Every one of you are partakers of the divine, and he's given you a gift to use in the body of Christ. And he says, each one of you, use it. That's the PDV version. Paul Dyer version. Use it. Use it. Because if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things, say all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory. In other words, all the glory belongs to him. All the dominion or sovereignty belongs to the Lord forever and ever. And so therefore, we have to be good stewards of the gifts that God's given us, right? There was an article recently of a man who passed away in a small town. I think it was in Massachusetts, and the town had no idea that he even had any money. He rode around the town on a lawnmower. He rode around the town on a lawnmower. The guy had, I think it was $11 million. He died a multimillionaire, driving around on a lawnmower, wearing clothes that didn't identify him as anyone that had anything, living in a relatively small house nobody knew. When he died, he wrote in his will that he gave everything to the city. You know, God calls us to be good stewards. A steward is someone who's been given something and you've been given responsibility over that. How many know that your life is a gift of God. Your finances is a gift of God. And God's called us to be stewards over that. Somebody said, well, I'll work for every dime I make. But guess what? And just like that, you could be sick and broke without anything. Every good gift comes from the Father above. Every good gift. And so therefore, how do we steward what God gives us? How do we honor God with not only the physical gifts that we have, but the spiritual gifts we have? How do we use those gifts for God? You know, Janice Walker, she's going to kill me right now. Janice Walker turns 81 today, right? Yeah. But you know something about Janice Walker? What a faithful person to use the gifts that God's given her. Just about every Sunday, you can see her standing out there, shaking people's hands, handing out a bulletin saying, you know, welcome to Alcoa Maryville Church of God. But not only that, every Monday, she sits behind a computer at Manna Outreach Ministries, and she checks in people who come in. She's the desk of the repeat offenders. So when people have been there multiple times, they go to her, she signs them up. Always faithful to use the gift that God has given her. Somebody says, well, I'm retired. I don't use that. Now, look, 81, she's still going. Look, that was about 2 or 3 months ago. Her heart stopped. I mean, literally, it stopped. She's in the hospital. That was Saturday. And on Sunday, guess where she was at? Right there, handing out bulletins. She's faithful. God, help us to be faithful to the call that you've called us to. Help us to use the gifts that you have laid before us. Help us to understand that as we honor you, that you will be glorified. As we walk in your truth, as we walk in service to the kingdom, that God will be glorified. It goes on. Verse 12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding great joy. Somebody says, well, wait a minute. Fiery trials? Well, you know, fire has a purpose. The Bible talks about the man who builds on the foundation of hay and wood and all that stuff, that when the fire comes, it'll be burnt up. But the man who builds on the foundation of Christ will be secure and safe. Look, fire's refining. If your life is built on hay, guess what? When the fire comes, whoosh, it's gone. But if it's built on the gold of God, come on, it refines and purifies. And so there's going to be fiery trials that come. As you're following the Lord, as you're bringing glory and honor to him, he says, look, if you suffer with me, you'll also rejoice and know that the glory of God is being revealed. The end is at hand, folks. Somebody said, well, they've been saying that for 100 years. It is closer now than it's ever been. We can see the signs of time happening all around us. Just look at the animosity in this country against Israel right now. Isn't it crazy? Look at the various world powers, the UN, and the animosity that they have against Israel right now. Look, we're setting up. Nobody knows the day nor the hour the Son of Man comes, but let me encourage you, it's coming. And it's not time to play. It's not time to just sit on the sidelines. It's time to get on your knees and get serious as a watchman looking out for those who are needing Jesus. It's time to get on your knees and pray for loved ones like you've never prayed before. It's time to take some time away from the day. Look, in the earlier days, they literally would take time in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And sometimes it's hard for us to take about 20 minutes or 5 minutes in the little devotion that we do on our Bible app. But until we get to a place of seriousness, that this is serious, there's lives that are going to hell because people aren't sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people who are dying who need to hear Jesus loves them, that there's a way that's better than what they've gone through, and God has a plan for their life. They need to hear it. But he's looking for a passionate people who will be serious, that's willing to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The flesh just keeps on feeding what we always have done. But when we have the supernatural, say supernatural, supernatural. Because what I'm talking to you this morning is not a natural life. It's not what you can do in relying on yourself. It only can take place by the grace of God. So don't feel condemned this morning. Feel challenged to say, Lord, I want the supernatural to happen once again. I want the compassion of Jesus to roll into my heart, that when, God, you say move, I move. When you say go, I go. When you say do, I do. When you say jump, I jump. God, I want more of you. I want to be obedient to your plan. That won't happen if you're operating in the flesh. But if you allow the Spirit of God, the grace of God to flow through you, and you ask God, God, do the supernatural. Do the supernatural. Make me love. This love that it's talking about, it's a supernatural love. We don't love the people who hurt us. We don't love the people who are chaotic in the world. Matter of fact, it frustrates us. It angers us. The flesh, it makes us angry. It makes us mad to see them, what they're doing to our children, our families. But when we have a supernatural love, that supernatural love covers a multitude of sin. That supernatural love is able to reach into broken people and say, I love you enough that I care, and I'm going to sit down with you. I'm going to come into this place even though you've treated me bad. I'm going to keep on coming, and I'm going to keep on saying, Jesus loves you. I'm going to keep on showing a lifestyle that Jesus loves you. Even if you taunt me, even if you wonder why I'm not agreeing with your lifestyle, I still love you. I still care, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. That's what Jesus did for each one of us. That's the love that Jesus showed for every one of us. It would have been easier to just wipe us out. But he said on the cross of Calvary, as he stretched out his arms, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, my question to you is this. Will you make room for him? Look, I want you to understand, I'm not asking you to be religious this morning. I'm asking you to truly reflect and say, there's some things happening in my life that I can't do on my own, and I need God's grace. I need the grace of God to help me make room this morning for the presence of God. You say, Lord, Pastor, I need the grace of God because I want more. My spirit man wants more, but my flesh is full, and I need the grace of God to help me push down every desire that I can make room for him. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I need. Oh, yes. Yes, come on. Let's be real this morning. I want more of him. I want more of him. Amen. Amen. Would you just stand with me? Would you lay your hand on the person beside you? Father God. Father God. Jesus. 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 Lord, I pray right now, Father, there were hands raised all across this room. Lord, I truly believe that there is a stirring going on in this congregation. Lord, just as you gave a vision to Ken just the other day, you told him, you said, the move is like a wind in a mulberry bush. Some are feeling it like tornado wind, and some aren't feeling it at all. God, I pray, Lord, that those who are feeling it like a tornado wind, I pray they hang on to your presence and let you absolutely transform their lives. But God, I pray that those who don't feel it, that you will awaken their hearts, that you'll help them to see there's more than what they're going through. There's more that you have in store for them. There's a revival that you want to do in their lives and their families. There's a revival in their young, in their children, their grandchildren. God, I pray that they will awaken themselves to your truth. As your word says, arm yourselves. God, let us be equipped with the mindset of Christ Jesus, that we may walk in the Spirit, that we may operate in the love, that, Lord, that we may see the glory of God shining through in every situation we face, that you may be exalted and you lifted up. For the time has come. The time is coming. The time is coming, Lord Jesus. And let us be prepared. Father, I pray for those in Middle Tennessee and West Tennessee that are so impacted by those tornadoes. I pray, God, that you will give grace to them in this moment. I pray for Pastor Eric, God, that you'll minister to him and give him strength. Eric Jackson, Lord, that you'll touch him and help him have wisdom to maneuver and how he could care for the church flock that he has there. And Lord, let us be hands extended in a time of need. God, let your grace be sufficient for them, Lord Jesus. God, today we surrender ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! God is so good. God is so good. If you will, remember, there's a few trees left. If you want to get one, if you want to get one for somebody, go by and grab one of those. If you say, Pastor, I don't have enough money to buy one, don't let that be an excuse. If you know somebody in need who doesn't have one and they need something, listen, we've had some donations given to help us to bless the family. You know somebody that doesn't have one, can't afford one, go get a tree today. Take it to them. Say, this is from the Alcoa Maryville Church of God. God loves you, right? Remember, ladies, today is your last time to sign up. Please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet right in front of the sound booth. Put your name on it. Make sure you're ready. And all you guys, you nice young men and women who are so strong and capable, can you hang out and help us move chairs in just a minute? I appreciate that. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.